Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals, enter the promo code Filthy Casuals, and you'll get $3 off a new subscription.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You have myself, Tommy Dasilo. You also have sitting opposite me, Ben Vanell.
The Mean Machine. Is my new nickname.
I used to be the Mean Machine.
Oh, yeah.
In our group chat, I was the Mean Machine for a little while.
But I'm the Mean Machine because I'm so harsh on all the games I review.
Very, very good. We've also got, I can't wait to see what kind of nickname he's cooked up for himself.
I've got one ready. I'm the Bean Machine. Yay. We all did it. End the podcast.
And a Merry Christmas to all our wonderful listeners. We've got a guest today. We do this sometimes in here. We get sick of each other's company and we think, you know what, let's find a horny guy on the street and let's just get him in here. You may know him as one third of the sketch group Auntie Donna, my personal favourite sketch trio. Yes. Please welcome to Filthy Casuals, Mark Bernardo.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. I love video games.
You're saying it wrong. So do you really love them, or are you one of these pretend fans?
Oh look, I'm a bit of a noob.
You're a fake gamer girl.
I hadn't really started playing video games again until last year when my lovely girlfriend bought me a PlayStation 4. I'd never had one before.
I was so sure you were going to say a loved one died.
And I inherited
I needed something to distract me.
And I was like, finally, a GameCube.
I inherited Nan's PlayStation 4, but I had to spend a night in it.
Yeah. She asked to be buried with it, but that bitch don't know the difference.
She was stupidly generous and bought me a PlayStation 4 with fucking Darth Vader's head printed on it.
Oh, wow.
Battlefront, which I fucking lost my mind over for about 2 months.
So you're a big Star Wars fan?
Massive Star Wars fan. Nice. Big Star Wars.
So she's going out and she's just buying you a PlayStation 4.
Because I've never been able to afford
it. What does she earn? How much does she earn a year?
What? She's doing all right. Let me tell you. She's doing a comedy on the side and she's doing a full-time big boy job.
What was the last gift you got her?
You get paid a lot being a big boy.
The last thing I got her, fuck, what did I get her for? Oh, I can't see. It's a bit personal.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I got her some...
How many inches?
Lingerie.
Oh, your sexy lingerie.
Yeah, she wanted it. With
Darth Vader's head printed on it?
Pardon?
Darth Vader's head printed on it?
She bloody wishes. No, she's not a nerd. She's a geek. She's like a really smart. She's super, super smart.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys all know
my partner, Naomi. Yeah.
She's like so fucking beyond intelligent. Intelligence that I can understand. She's like an engineer and does computer science and has a proper job, like a real job.
Oh, yeah.
Responsibility.
Yeah, where like shit would stop working if you didn't show up.
When she leaves for a week, shit falls apart.
Yeah.
And she's good at it and it's just proper. It's the meeting room in her office, and she has to have meetings with clients.
Because the term nerd has kind of been split off into two separate factions, hasn't it? There's the people who are like real brainy, know a lot of stuff. So like they're nerds. But then there's also nerds just like people who are into Star Wars. But they can be dumb as shit.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's why I'd say those other nerds, they're more geeks.
I'd say
the geeks are the smart ones. And then you've got the fucking loose nerds who spend a lot of time with cum.
Yeah, the four of us. Like,
The more time you spend with cum, the more of a nerd you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I am the nerdiest out of all of us. My chin is especially nerdy.
Cum is the nerdiest of all the bodily fluids. Yeah. I'm going to put that out
I'm being really nerdy right now, guys.
I'm so close to being a nerd.
So I was just like obsessed with video games as a kid and then pretty much had stuff up until an N64 and then had a computer for a bit, but then fell right behind. Never had the money to
so
have.
So you dropped off for a long time.
For
right.
a very long time. Was always one generation behind.
Okay.
Like right. full,
you know, yep. like the PS... When like the PS4 had been out for about 2 years, and then someone gave me a PS3, so I started playing.
Right,
PS3.
Okay, yeah. Not a bad way to be.
Yeah.
So I've only recently started really getting back into shit, and I'm that's having like, the best time.
Oh man, well that's like me. I've been a Nintendo boy my whole life. Which
me too.
I mean, you spend a long time between releases, especially with the Wii U, waiting for good games to come out. And I bought a PS4 at the start of last year, and it's just it's a whole new world, Mark. Like I can play anything.
It really
games actually
is.
Come out for it.
Yeah, it really, really is. Because I was the same. Like I'd only ever really played Nintendo. I'd never owned a PlayStation before. But fuck me, I think I'm gonna get the Switch because the Switch looks too good to pass up. Like
totally.
The Wii U was like, especially when there was no new Zelda game on it. There was like no sort of real push to fucking buy it for me.
Oh man, I rewatched the first presentation they did of the Wii, like the reveal video of it at E3.
Mm.
And there's like, man, it's cooked. Like there's a fucking, like they show off like a Zelda in that.
Yeah.
Like they announced it with a Zelda and then it just never came out.
Yeah. I remember
it's
that.
It's still going to come out.
Well, yeah,
but
true.
But it'll be on a way better thing at the same time.
And hopefully
as well.
It'll be a way better game.
Yeah. And it they have always been bad at delivering on shit like that.
Yes.
Like
it's not a release title still, isn't it? Like Breath of the Wild isn't going to come out.
They delayed it like 6 months or something. Yeah.
But even like the demo, like the reveal video of the Wii U, like it's showing off all the stuff the gamepad can do, which no one ended up utilizing. Mm. But even just like what they're showing you doing is like the gamepad on the floor with like a golf ball on it, and then you use the Wii remote as a golf club.
Mm.
So it's like, that's impressive tech. Who gives a fuck? Like, this is the thing where you're showing off the system. Guess what, guys? You can play golf on it.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares?
Well, the thing I always thought it was going to be great for and, like, perfect for, which is hopefully they'll utilize in the shift, in the fucking Switch. Fuck.
is the Nintendo like, Shiv.
Yeah. is taking all the on-game display, like, you know, playing fucking Batman and being able to go through your utility belt on the fucking touch screen and not have to go on the fucking options and pull up, just be able to do it at a touch of a button.
Well,
if they're doing shit like that, that'll be fucking sick.
They did that. They bought out a Batman game on it where you could do that. And they re-released
an old one that was fucking 2 years old, didn't give a fuck.
And same with the Zelda Wind Waker. Like, being able to have your utilities on a touch screen was cool. I just always thought it would be so cool to have multiplayer where one of you has a screen that no one else can see. Like,
the weird
that's
thing
such
is
a cool.
They do stuff like that. There is, like, with Rayman, there's a fucking great.
Is
it Rayman? Is that?
Yeah.
That game on there, I've played that for a bit, and the way that works two player.
Mm.
One person can only see certain things on their screen. One person can only see stuff on the TV, and you got to work together to make shit happen. It's super duper fun.
But that came out within 6 months of the system coming out, and then no one did anything like that with it ever again.
Stuff like that game, Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, where you have to defuse the bomb. I think I've talked about this.
Yeah, you talked about it with
Dave Callan.
Callan played it. That thing would have been perfect for it, but nobody wanted to make games for that thing at some point as well, because after like a year they realized, no one's ever going to have one of these.
Yeah.
You may as well make it for a fucking, what else does no one have?
A Virtual Boy?
Vita?
Laser disc?
I couldn't think of anything. Yeah. I was like, what don't people have? Girlfriend? No. And most people have their happiness. No, fuck.
So, Mark, what are your favourite types of games? Even like going back to the 64, like your last console that you owned, like what did you love on it?
Oh, like I've always really fucking loved first person shooters, and one, like, you know, like GoldenEye was, you know, like changed my fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And platformers as well, like Banjo-Kazooie is just one of the best fucking games.
So great.
Ever. It's just incredible. It's just so insane.
Yeah.
It's a fucking bear with a bird in his backpack, and the bird's like a sassy piece of shit.
They must just get so high when they come up with this stuff. Like, yous blokes down at Rare, you must smoke so many fucking billies when you come up with this stuff.
That fucking witch keeps rhyming everything. She's like a fucking rapper, man. That's what they mean.
You know when Mario eats the mushroom and he grows, You think that's based off eating real bloody magic mushrooms and going, growing your mind, expanding your mind, Tommy.
Oh,
expanding
shit.
Your mind.
How often do you get asked that in Auntie Donna, by the way?
What?
If you're high when you come up with all your sketches.
Someone just, and I won't say who, but like someone who's a little bit famous messaged just on Twitter today and was like, hey, I'm bringing my 14-year-old kid and 10 of his friends to your comedy festival show. I've just bought 10 tickets. And then she was saying all that. Is it over 18? She wanted to make sure it was over 18. And then we're like, yeah, it's all good. And she just wrote, you cooked cunts better be selling merch.
Okay, so a female comedian with a 14-year-old kid.
Female famous person,
not necessarily comedian.
Yeah.
What? I'm not saying anything more.
This is
Lisa
great.
Lisa Marie Presley.
She's so funny. we really love this person in question. She's been a big supporter of us and her kids love us, and she's always messaging us and letting us know how much.
What's the name of the one who hosts with Carl Stefanovic? I think it's her for some reason. Lisa. Is it Lisa from the Today Show?
You're just hooked on Lisa, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I just watched Lisa the Today Show this morning.
Is it Lisa Simpson? So you like first-person shooters.
Yeah.
And you're a big Batman fan.
Massive Batman.
You've got a tattoo of Batman.
I do have a Batman tattoo. I'm a big Batman fan. I love Batman. I love the character since I was a kid. I've got, like, the reason I've got the tattoo dates back to being fucking, like, 5 years old and remembering
seeing your parents get shot in an alleyway.
What? They're dead. No, they're just divorced and unhappy. That's true. I got the tattoo because most memories that I have as a kid growing up have to do with Batman. Like,
right.
It's weird. It's just this weird thing where...
So I just had an image of Batman, but with, like, his parents hadn't died. They'd just gotten divorced. And, like, Batman's only real thing now is that he's just really great at, like, not telling secrets.
He just turns into the most badass family court lawyer.
Yeah. It turns out...
To keep everyone together. Yeah.
During the day, I'm at my mum's house, but during the night, I go to my father's.
And he's still telling everyone that they got shot in an alleyway. It just turns out he's a really melodramatic kid. Like, that's how he views it. So you've been playing through, you were saying before, the Batman Telltale series.
Yeah.
Which our man Ben Vanell over here is a big fan of.
Yes.
You didn't like it at first though, did you?
That's true, yeah. I thought the first episode was kind of shitty and kind of, I was like, oh, this tired Batman stuff, they're not doing anything new with it.
Mm.
And then it turned out they are, and they did.
They are doing so much new with the story and with the characters. And that's what I fucking loved about it is like, not even in the comic books, right? Like I follow the comic books at the moment. Like the new stuff, the new Rebirth stuff isn't the best, but I thought the new 52 stuff was incredible. But I keep up to date with what's going on with Batman, and even they don't take as big sort of risks and changes to the mythology as they are with the Telltale series, which keeps it so fresh and interesting.
Absolutely,
it doesn't just feel like another Batman story. I genuinely don't know what the fuck's going
to
happen next.
Yeah, right. So, and because I don't stay up to date with the comics, but I just imagined this must have been a brand new thing, what they did with his parents and the backstory with there. It's like, I felt uncomfortable. I was like, you can't do this to these characters, but they did, and it's a really interesting direction that they took the story.
That's great, because with Batman especially, I feel like he is the most well known in the general population. His mythology and all that shit is probably the most widely well known.
Definitely. Yeah.
So if you were going to fuck with someone, do it with him, because people already know the basic beats of what you're fucking.
Yes, they have expectations you can undercut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you did it with like fucking Captain Marvel or whatever, I don't know what she's doing.
Even Superman, it's like there's aliens and stuff. Like obviously I know, and we probably know from having seen the movies and stuff, but the Superman mythology is nowhere near as well known as Batman.
Well, I remember being in my early 20s and starting to get into comics and someone giving me, what's the Frank Miller Batman?
Oh, The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, just getting that and going, what the fuck's going on here? Like, he's like an old man and, like, just all that.
It's got fucking pictures in it. What's all of this?
So what's this watch? Where's that arrow? Oh, that's him saying that. Wow, this is cool. When's Jughead showing up?
He's thinking it, but I can read it? This is not for me.
So can John hear Garfield, or what the fuck's going on?
Where's the fold in?
So the Telltale series, they've finished it, right? Like,
yes.
They're at the end of it?
Yes, the first season at least.
Okay.
I assume based on how popular Batman is and how like they've kind of taken The Walking Dead and done three seasons. I assume that this will continue in some form.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
but
they seem to have so much on their plate, though, that maybe they'll move on to something else.
Well, they seem to just drop off the less popular ones. Like, I love The Wolf Among Us, but that's never getting a second season.
Oh, really?
But wasn't that the best one? Didn't everyone say that was like, I haven't played that, and because I'd never played a Telltale game like that. That's the one thing I've been fucking loving about my PS4 is storytelling games.
Yes. I got to go in on some of these, because I'm a big fan of the old LucasArts, like kind of point and click games from back in the day. I've never properly gone in on one of these, but we were talking last week about what I referred to before as my summer reading program, catching up on some stuff.
Yep.
And that seems like a really good thing to just kind of, just over the break, over the next couple of weeks, you know, bit of downtime, just settle into a couple of those
kinds of games. I'll tell you right now, Desolo, I got it for like $20. I think it might still be as cheap. You can get Beyond and Heavy Rain, which are two really fucking fantastic storytelling games. I haven't played Beyond yet, but I'm really stuck in the Heavy Rain.
Did we talk about this? I feel like one of you guys, Ben and Adam, were not into it.
I didn't get so into it.
I didn't like the controls, and that stopped me from getting into the story.
Okay,
I thought it was fun. It was very easy to make that game turn silly easily, and so there's one scene that's my favorite comedy thing that's ever been made by anybody, in that thing where like it's a chase scene through like a market, and if you just miss all the button prompts, right? So what happens is most of that game works is like stuff will come up on the screen, you make your choices by pressing certain buttons.
I think they call it a quick time event.
Yeah, but
in
it's
the
like,
industry.
But I wanted to take longer to
Thanks
say.
Thanks for the keynote.
But so anyway, you're running through this market chasing after a dude and he keeps, you know, like throwing apples and stuff in front of you to try and trip you. And if you don't hit the button prompts, it'll keep going. It doesn't have any negative
effect. This is the start of Aladdin.
But your guy will just keep tripping over and falling and shit.
Right.
So you can have this like 6 or 7 minute long chase sequence. There's videos of it on YouTube that you should watch of this dude just running, just chasing this guy down and being the worst detective of all time, like tripping over chairs, running into people walking past.
Yeah.
He gets hit by a car at one point, like doors just closing on him, and he's like, oh no, just for like a second it takes the electric door to open again.
Right.
It's really, really funny, and there's a lot of that in that game that made me, like,
which
took me
so
out of it.
Which is so fair enough. Like, because I've never actually, because sometimes when I play those games, I don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah.
And
I don't
know what'll happen if I miss the things, because I'm no, I want to play it properly, which is stupid. I'm an idiot.
No,
I'm an idiot. And like, I should just, you know, it should be fun. But because it's a serious game, I tend to take it serious. And
when you break the reality of what's happening in the game, like when I was playing the start of Mafia 3, and it's like your guy that you're with like is talking to you, and he's like, let's go there right now. And he gets in the car. And then I couldn't work out how to get in the car. So it was making me and my housemate laugh so much, because this guy's just sitting in the car and it takes me like 5 minutes to do anything. And at no point is he going, what are you doing? Fucking get in the car.
He's just sitting staring straight ahead.
And my housemate was saying, these developers, they try and craft this like immersive experience where this story just flows on. And what they don't bank on is someone being as much of a dumb fuck as you are and just not knowing how to push the buttons properly.
Yeah. What happens if an actual idiot plays this? That won't happen. We don't need to play Death of that. But no, it's true. Like driving that car off the cliff in Uncharted and shit, like the first thing you do half the time is try to fuck with it.
Yeah.
And if it works, It especially in like, because it's so focused on the story, that thing, that like if you let it get a little messy, it takes you right out of it for me.
Well, I thought, you know, let's get like fair. Uncharted does it a lot, and I've just started replaying The Last of Us, and it does it too, where when you're walking along in the game and there's like, you know, you'll just be walking through a patch where like nothing's happening, so there's like dialogue happening between all the characters, it's exposition. But if you kind of reach a checkpoint a bit, like if you're running, like you reach it a bit quickly and the dialogue just cuts.
I
always feel bad. I'm like, oh no, I'm selling it short. Like I'm missing out on key bits of the story.
Oh, yeah. I would have that a lot with Red Dead Redemption, because there'd be a lot of expedition or like horse rides.
Yeah.
Where you're supposed to be like riding next to someone and they tell you this whole, you know, their backstory. And I'm just like, sprint, sprint, sprint. And you just leave them in the dust. And they just kind of like tail off into the background.
Yeah.
It's pretty realistic though, because you know how like in real life, when you start saying something personal, people tend to leave. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's pretty realistic to what happens in real life to everybody.
The number of times in those games I'm just holding the control stick.
Sure, sure.
Where are you going, guys?
The number of times in those games I've just been holding the stick forward and then just on my phone with my other hand, just like waiting to get to the end of the checkpoint.
Yeah, so you're holding the stick forward and your phone's in your other hand. How are you holding the controller?
Nice.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Wait, stick with you,
man,
kid.
You must have been so high when you came up with that one. So, yeah, the Telltale Games, worth going in. Recommend it
for a summer reading program. I mean, I'm biased because I love it, I guess, but I love The Wolf Among Us.
Well, that's not biased. It just means you enjoy it.
Deconstructed liking something.
Yeah, you'd be biased if you made it.
Yeah, but I do. I love The Wolf Among Us, and I pretty much, like, bought the first episode, played it, then bought the rest and, like, played the rest in one night. Like, it's just, like, a great, like, if you got some time, just sit down and play through it.
I've been meaning for ages to do their Sam and Max ones because I love the original on the PC.
There's heaps of them, too.
Yeah, they brought that back.
They did heaps.
Yeah. But they were on PC and I'd never had a computer that could run it. But then now they're all on PS4.
Yeah. But as for Batman, Batman's great. And I've played the full five episodes and it's great. Like all the way through, like I reckon I just had my own misgivings with the first episode, but it was actually it was made well, and in retrospect, I think it's top to bottom a really good series.
I'm looking forward to the. Oh, sorry.
Oh no, I was just gonna say like it's a very different game, but in terms of enjoyment, I've enjoyed it way more than Arkham Knight.
Mm. Like, that's what I was about to ask you about because that came out. Yeah, when that came out
last year, I think.
Last year, yeah. It came out just before I got a PS4, and it was one of the things where I was like looking at it, going, "Man, I got to go in on this."
Yeah,
and I really like those games. I've had fun with them, and like the stories are usually like the one with Arkham Knight. The story for me wasn't the best. Like, it was pretty predictable. Like I saw where it was going and stuff, and it was fine. And spent way too much time in the fucking Batmobile. But
that was the thing about the people were most psyched about, right?
Yeah, like because there was just one thing, there was one logic thing in that game that upset me. Like where I was just like, this is it's real hard to get past. Just logically,
we can spoil that game now.
Well, it's like well, like it's not even that. It's like it's the Arkham Knight. He's real badass. He's real hell bent on killing Batman. He's like the first villain who's ever like, I'm gonna fucking actually kill you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So then what he does?
The rest
is
of them all sort of dance around it, don't they?
Yeah, they're all just kind of like, it's a love hate affair.
I'm gonna steal your antiques, Batman.
No one's got the stones to come out and go, I want this motherfucker dead.
Yeah, and this felt like the first one, it was just like, oh, I'm mad, right? Yeah. You know? But so what he does is, what his big fucking thing is, he sends out driverless drones to fuck up Batman. It's like, put some people in them. Yeah. Batman doesn't kill people, right? And also, I would have thought it would have made the game and those sequences so much more interesting if you didn't just have to blow them up, but you had to use a combination potentially of the fucking Batmobile and then like getting onto the tank.
You've got
to
jump out and rescue that person.
It just seemed dumb to me that this villain who was hell bent on killing Batman didn't just use his one weakness.
Yeah, maybe he's
his
still
one
had,
biggest weakness.
Maybe he still
know?
Had some goodness in him deep down.
This is no, me, Ben and Mark.
Like, then it's stupid. then the whole thing's dumb, you know? And it's like, if that's the point, then I don't know. It was just one thing where I was like, oh, why am I blowing up? I just felt dumb.
Making you do it like 10 more times than you should.
Well, I think that's what it was. It was like, make him driverless and send in like 50 and do it 50 times just to increase the like length of time.
And you don't even feel like you're in the Batmobile for those bits because you're in like this weird hovering tank.
That's true. You're like strafing around. Mm. Yeah.
And so it's a fun adventure game and you know, it's a lot of, but like my wrists just hurt after playing that game because you got to smash buttons so much. Yeah. And
tell me about it.
Tell me about sore wrists. Oh boy.
But like with the Telltale Games, they make me fucking feel genuine emotions.
Yeah.
Like times where I've had to make choices where I'm just like yelling at my,
I'm back out.
Fuck you. I can't make this. This is an impossible fucking choice you're making me make. And you make the decision and it fucking hurts. And it just makes me go, I can't wait till I finish this so I can go back, play it out and see what happens when I make the other choice.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, man,
and
just
games that make you feel something like that, I think are very rare. Like The Last of Us was the
I was
last
just about to say. To yeah. Well, even just the start of that when your daughter fucking dies in your arms. Like,
totally.
I forgot how, like, you fucking see her die on the screen.
So
Jesus
There's
Christ.
This really good, like, video series where they got, like, famous people to sit down and play some video games as, like, an ad thing. Mm-hmm. And they get Seth Rogen and James Franco to sit down and play, like, the first 20 minutes of The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. And so they sit down and they're like, cracking jokes and shit for the first. Be like, your neighbors are so. Oh, who am I?
That is a great.
Louis Armstrong was there as well. But Seth, you know, they're cracking jokes to each other at this opening bit, and they're, you know, haha, oh, they're zombies. And then that bit comes up with like the girl dying in their arms, and they're like, oh, Bob Wuzzle, like,
yeah. It would make you feel bad for the preceding 20 minutes.
Totally, yeah.
And you seem like an
Which
asshole.
Which is great to be able to do that to someone. Like, and it works perfectly for what that game tries to do.
Yeah.
That was great. The Walking Dead, if you haven't tried that as well, the Telltale one.
Yeah.
I don't like the show very much, I've read the comics a bit, but I fell off of them.
Mm.
And it's too many. I fucking think it's awesome, that one.
Oh, okay.
Same sort of thing where, like, you're making these choices. Like, my three favorite games in 2013 were all about, like, trying to save a young girl from zombies. Well, two of them were about zombies. Because The Last of Us and The Walking Dead were both that year.
Yeah.
And then Bioshock Infinite, there's no zombies, but you were trying to save a young girl in that too.
Certainly, yeah.
I'm just a bit of a gentleman. I like to...
Jeez.
Women need to be saved.
Fuck, The Last of Us is so good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
The bit where you're playing, and then, not to spoil it for anyone, but that thing, something happens to Joel, and then you... Mm. Then it goes black, and then you just start playing as Ellie.
Yeah.
Was like... an emotional fucking experience for me. Like, it was,
it's
just like
awesome.
This. Yeah, I couldn't speak. I was just like, I can't believe. I'm like, now I'm like in her. Now it's her point of view. I'm seeing the world from her point of view. I'm getting to be her and experience. What the fuck is going on?
The acting in that game.
Oh my god,
is great.
The acting's great.
It's the best.
Yeah. And especially like going from like we just for the sake of, you know, reviewing them in a timely manner for this show, like playing a bit of Final Fantasy 15 and The Last Guardian, which both have their control flaws, I think, to then go to The Last of Us, which is just flawless. Like, and you sort of go, just copy this. Like,
Like
the controllers in that, I noticed, like,
just make it like Spielberg. Directors, idiots.
Well, I just noticed that the controls in that, like, because I was trying to work out, I was like, why is this so good and Last Guardian is so tricky and fidgety?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, Last of Us, you're kind of like, you use the controller to rotate. Like, I was kind of analyzing, you know, like, you, if you just move left and right, you're strafing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So to actually turn around, like, it's almost like first person controls.
Right.
Like, you're not,
sure, right. It's
like, you're not running around freely
back.
In the space. Yeah. Like, the camera's actually controlling which way you turn and face.
Yeah.
And just like little things like that where you notice.
You know what's weird? I read a thing that's like a Japanese thing in particular of having the camera be completely separate from the player. There's something in like the way Japanese games are designed specifically where people don't, like, players over there, like, they do testing and shit, don't take ownership over the camera as easily as they take ownership over the person, if that makes sense.
Right.
So like a lot of first person games and that sort of Last of Us thing, you're taking ownership of the camera. That's who you're identifying with in the scene. And Japanese players, for whatever reason, according to this article at lies.com, no, at whatever I read this, that's the reason. Is
well, that's a lot of JRPGs, especially the early ones, the what you were seeing on screen was usually a matte painting and you would move the character around that.
It was, and even action games, like early ones like Devil May Cry and shit that used 3D spaces, had fixed cameras still, and Resident Evil and all of those.
Yeah.
But
then, so yeah, it's like a strange cultural thing for whatever reason.
Super Mario 64, how like they kind of had to explain 3D games,
like,
to people. You're lucky to.
Yeah.
Well, that was the... I might be wrong, but was that the first 3D platform?
It was early the fuck on. It was the first one that worked, I reckon.
It was it was the first one where they went from side scrolling.
First successful one. I mean, Crash Bandicoot wasn't 3D though, really.
No,
but fully 3D.
But was that before Mario?
Crash think was like slightly before, maybe. And there were a couple where they tried it from. I don't know.
I think Mario 64 was the first.
It was the one where everyone went, oh, this is how to do it.
But you remember the very start of that, like, Lakitu comes up and he's like, hey, I'm your little camera guy. Make me move around with these buttons.
Yeah.
Like, I just found that very funny that they felt like...
They had to personify the camera.
Yeah. But so you're controlling Mario, but also you're controlling the camera guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really interesting. I guess Mario 64 is the big exception to that, but yeah, that's...
Yeah, sure. Mm. But even then, like, you don't end up using a huge amount of camera control in that because it mostly just follows you around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So I also just, I finished Inside the other day.
Oh yeah, what was his name?
Man, what
he's
a fucking...
You've gone all red.
Oh, busted.
You're a nerd over there.
My little boy's become a man. I'm so proud of him. That game is so fucking good. Like, yeah. I loved it even before I got to... like, the last, like, whatever, 10, 15 minutes of it, gets, like, insanely, insanely good. Yep. Which I kind of... we were talking about it and you guys didn't want to spoil it because you'd both finished it and I insisted. And I kind of... I regret that now. But it was still fucking incredible.
Yeah, like it's the kind of it's got a payoff,
right? And yeah. I think it's the kind of thing you can't spoil because the act of playing through it is the best part of it. Like,
well, just where everything's been very stealthy physics. And very quiet and very kind of measured, and then the last 10 minutes is just you're smashing through shit, and it's just like it's just kind of this big build up and release.
Yeah,
and then the end, like I thought, just it very kind of abrupt. Gentle ending.
Totally,
I thought was really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, man. You got to play it, Mark. It's fucking
great. Yeah, I haven't. Don't know what the fuck it is. I don't know what the fuck you cunts are talking about.
It's a 2D platformer,
like puzzly kind of
puzzles in it, but it doesn't cue anything. So you just start. There's no backstory. There's no like tutorial. There's no press this button.
There's no like heads up display. You're just
go and you figure it out, and it's never quite clear what exactly is happening in the story, but you see stuff happen in the background and you just kind of piece it together yourself. And again, it's never explicitly said, this is what these guys are doing.
Yeah. Sounds a bit like Journey. Like,
sort of like a 2D. It's closer to like, from ages ago, like Another World and Flashback and all those that were on like the Mega Drive.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if there are any like modern equivalent things of those. Like Limbo is the last one they made, if you ever saw that.
No,
which is like a 2D silhouette thing. But yeah, like another Heart of Darkness was one on the PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that with the little kid who keep dying in gory ways?
Yes. Yeah. It's I guess like Abe's Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's a similar gameplay to that. Okay. Yeah.
But just that's the fact that you're in it and you're meant to be this little kid, and there's no like 15-minute cutscene at the start of like, you know, the year is 2020 and this is what's happening. Like it's just you just let loose
or
in
like
it.
202X.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it's like it because it's you die and you try it again and you die and you try it again and you teach yourself the mechanics of the game just through trial and error, basically.
Yeah. And there's a great I got stuck on a bit and I was asking you guys for help and you ignored me, which I was then so glad that you did, because when I finally did it, it was so satisfying.
Yeah.
And like I love, you know, like in Uncharted and stuff, you get so used to when you die, there's like a sting of music and all the other characters are like, oh my God, and it's very full on. He's dead. He's dead.
I love it, those games when you die, like it's, I don't know how they program it, but it's like they just program it to, there's no more bones.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like
isn't
for some
weird?
Reason,
yeah.
They just, when you die, they take bones out and you just like turn into this mess of
limbs. You turn into one of those things out the front of a used car dealership.
Yeah.
Just like those
fall down.
Yeah.
Just fall down.
Would that be like too traumatic maybe to be like, to show a realistic death? I don't know.
When you
maybe.
See a bone bent the wrong way, it looks very, very erotic.
I played a little bit of someone got me a Bloodborne for Christmas, which is the most infuriating fuck you game ever.
So,
I can't fucking handle it. I can't fucking handle spending like 45 minutes getting really far and doing really well and then having some cunt with a pitchfork set me on fire and then have to go back to the start. It's I just can't.
Yeah.
My brain can't take it. My ego can't take it.
It sounds like it's made by someone who hates video games and hates the people who play video games.
It's like I can't fucking do it. But like there's this thing that happens in that game which is so funny because it's all dark and spooky and genuinely quite scary.
The art is really unsettling. It looks great, like what Tim Burton thinks he's doing. Like that's
what he's going
it's
for.
Really,
but like genuinely scary, right? And like, but there's this part, and no matter what you kill, this happens, which is so funny. There's this part in the game, you go into this alley and there's this big fucking dude, gigantic like fucking juggernaut looking motherfucker, and you take him out and he dies. But then as soon as he dies, when you walk past him or over him, he becomes completely weightless. Once again, no bones.
Yeah.
And just starts flopping around on the floor. And it doesn't matter how big or how strong they are, as soon as they die.
It's nuts. You're kicking them around like they're a fucking paper mache. Like, but then a floppy wet one as well. Like, it's insane.
Let's go. Just make it disappear. Like, it takes me right out of the game.
It's so you can kill dragons and shit, and they're flopping around their necks like all jiggling about.
Why that choice? Yeah. I don't get it.
There's one guy there who, like, in every meeting, he's like, I will not bend on this. We are leaving them in.
I won't bend, but the corpses will.
Yes.
Just have to.
Yeah.
Well, this is what I was getting at with Inside is that, so...
Bloodborne, by the way, I just want to really quickly say, I reckon stick with Bloodborne because I felt exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And then something clicked and it did take, like, three... Because it was with, like, Demon's Souls years ago that I first went, like, fuck you, I've got a life to lead.
Yeah.
And then something happened in the interim and now I like them for some reason.
Yeah, so that's what my friend told me, my friend who bought it for me. He said it's constantly frustrating but never boring.
Totally, yes.
Right, yeah. Right.
And I was like, all right, because even though last night I yelled at my TV I went, fuck you, I'm never playing you again. All day I've been like, I'll give it another
I reckon I can do it.
Yeah, right, right.
And totally, you build this bizarre relationship with those games where, like, you fucking, it's embarrassing the amount of shit they give you, and then you keep coming back for more.
I can't even imagine how satisfying it's going to be when and if I get to that next fucking lamp.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm only talking about the first lamp.
Yeah.
Right?
But when I know that when I, having spent 45 minutes on, I guess, what you'd call a level.
Yeah.
And then getting what I felt like I was close to the end. I might have been nowhere fucking.
Yeah, right.
And then just dying over some stupid little mistake I made. It's like, if I can get past that, I feel like I'm going to be the king of
the games. And then you have literally nothing to show with it in terms of what's in the game. But the really cool thing about them is that, like, instead of giving you, like, oh, now you've got the hook shot or whatever, now you can go to the next bit, it teaches you actual skills that you're doing the next time
to get better.
Which feels good.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still ultimately useless, and I understand completely if no one ever wants to.
Well, that's the thing. I gave it a day's play and was like, I'm no good at this, and I just moved on to it.
I feel like it's playing that game feels like, and I've had the same frustrations growing up with learning an instrument.
Right? Oh, yeah.
It genuinely feels like learning an instrument. Mm. You have to learn the mechanics and how to progress to the next level of, like, ability. Just purely.
Yeah.
It's seriously like playing the saxophone.
And there's no way around it. Like, it's just time. Like, you just have to put the time in.
It is literally, it's just time and learning. And you just learn to get good at it.
Well, see, I learned the saxophone when I was a kid, and I don't want to do that again.
See,
and you're still not good at Bloodborne.
I tried, failed, and went, fuck you, I'm never picking up the saxophone again.
Bloodborne is not a sexy instrument. It's not even as sexy as the saxophone or what. You're learning to play the fucking oboe or something if you're playing Bloodborne. Like, you're never going to walk into a party and go, guess what, where I'm up to in Dark Souls, baby.
Well, yeah, just to quickly go back to Inside, so the big fanfare of all the deaths in Uncharted and stuff.
Oh yeah,
it's what I love about Inside. You die and it's just quiet. Like, it's so fucked up. Like,
it's nuts. Someone will run up to you and just choke you out.
A guy will see you, run up behind you, snap your neck, and there's no yelling. It's just like, and then there's no music, just
a couple
silence.
Of guard dogs come up and then it just fades to black.
And it's so much more unsettling. Yeah. Like, I was in a bit where you're in, like, you're underwater and there's, like, an exhaust fan that you've turned off, but then it switches back on and just sucks you in it, and you just, like, you appear on the other end just, like, in half. Like, it's fucked. And, those deaths, like, it resonates so much more than in
That's
Uncharted
great,
for
yeah.
however the
I'm
top
all,
is.
I'm all about games that make you feel stuff. That's why I never really got into Uncharted. I tried to play it, but I was just like, the story and the characters and stuff just didn't engage
Sonic
me.
Drowning in the Sonic games is still one of the most fucked up things in any video game.
In terms of emotion?
Like,
what a beautiful boy.
It's
drowning.
It's freaky looking. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Well, the music goes like the doop, 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 doop.
It's really tense, and then just the look on it, like, it's fucked.
Yeah.
It's no good. Like, in Mario, I think it's just like, oh, no, you can't drown. Oh, no, wait, you can drown in the 3D ones, I think.
Well, so in terms of feeling shit in a game, something that got me more than I thought it would was the ending of Final Fantasy XV, which you finished, right?
Yeah.
What did you reckon?
The story got more and more incomprehensible to the point that I was not emotionally attached to anything that happened.
Yeah, I wonder if you'd have seen the movie thing if you'd feel differently.
Maybe. I've downloaded it.
Do you know this, Mark? They put out some fucked movie that you had to go see before the game of Final Fantasy to kind of really get the whole...
That's dumb.
And according to Nox, the movie was terrible.
It is.
And they're all terrible. They've made like... Like heaps of them.
Advent Children was no good. Yeah.
Spirits Within like literally broke them as a company and they had to get bought by a different one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they tried it again and it's still bad. But there's something about the story in that where I completely agree that it's fucking total bullshit.
Yeah.
Or at least the way it's presented to you is garbage.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's if you take it just as like a cinematic fucking.
Oh, if you mapped out the plot beats, it's a very normal like hero's journey.
Totally.
You know.
There's a villain, and like there's kind of an interesting thing of where the villain isn't even that much of a villain. He just feels betrayed and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And it caught me in my like imagination part of my brain, which is very small.
Yes.
And got that bit of me that to the point where I was able to forgive all of that. Of how it actually presents that to you.
Yeah, right.
And
okay.
Fill in the blanks a little.
Right. Which I, yeah, I don't.
Which I tend to, tends to make me more invested in a story. I think
I think that's what happened with you in Rogue One. And the same thing with me. I refused to fill in the blanks.
Yeah. Totally. Yes. No, I filled in all the.
You didn't like it?
Not a big fan.
Oh, Rogue One. I left the cinema very upset.
Yeah. Really?
I wasn't
very,
upset.
Very, very upset.
I was disappointed. I wanted more. And it, I felt like it was just like. Passable at best.
There's a couple of things. And look, boys, I'm not a big Hollywood movie maker. All right?
Well, what the fuck are you doing here? Get out of here. We're ready to get a pitch.
You told us you were Rob Reiner.
Such a strange name to reference. But I'm a big Star Wars fan. I really love Star Wars. And it's very close to my heart, close to my childhood, as it is for everyone, which is still why I can persist with Battlefront, even though it's not a brilliant game and they fucking made you buy two games.
Yeah.
And,
and to give you barely anything as well.
Have you played the Rogue One expansion?
No.
What a fucking joke. I've never gotten more bored of anything more quickly in my life.
Wow. What's in it?
It just feels empty and vapid. It's just a fucking some sand and some palm trees. And then the infiltration fucking game mode is such a great idea and the execution of it is so pathetic. And weak. Mm. Like, have you played it at all?
No, because I got bored of that game.
It's a good metaphor for
quick.
This podcast.
They introduced it with the Death Star thing, and it's such a cool concept, right? And the concept is there's three different levels of gameplay, right? And the first one is if you're Rebels, you have to take down a Star Destroyer, right?
Right.
And if you're Imperials, you have to defend. And then the next stage takes place on the Death Star. So it goes from flying to first person. You got to get R2-D2 if you're the Rebels and take him to a vantage point. And then the next level is the trench run, right?
Oh, right.
Death Star trench run.
Yeah.
Here's the fucking problem, right? If you're the Rebels and you lose the first round, or if you're the Imperials and you win the first round, that's it. Game's over.
Right.
So you've got to go to the next. So essentially, to get through all three levels, if you're the Imperials, to have the most fun, you have to lose two rounds and then try and win the third one, which is just fucking ridiculous because so many times you're playing and you're the Rebels and you win the first round, it's like, yay, but then the game's over.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucked. Well, I mean, it's not. It's if you lose.
That sounds like that. They kind of have that but fixed in Battlefield 1 then where like – it's basically just this one long battlefield and you have to take parts of it.
Right.
Yeah, so you get like five chances at the first part or you get like five chances overall or whatever. It's like exactly the same thing but fixed and without cool Death Stars and stuff.
I just feel like it should always go to the next level no matter what, and whoever wins gets some sort of advantage, some sort of one-up.
Yeah, like a bomb strike at some point or something.
Bullshit, but it's just, it's dumb. And then and then the infiltration, they do the same thing but with Rogue One, and it's just piss weak. Like, it's just even worse. Like, I think I played, the first level, we got into it, and I've only played it once or twice, but both times the same thing happened, whereas, it started... I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was in the X-Wing, and then I just literally flew it straight, saw no enemies, killed no one, and then we won. And it was just, it was like, protect the U-Wings, get them to the thing. I'm like, okay, congratulations, you did it.
Wow.
I was like, what? I didn't do anything. It was, I just, anyway, but I play that game to feel like I'm 5 years old again, and yeah. It always makes me happy because yeah. It looks amazing.
You were talking before about something you've been playing that, yeah, it's sort of passed all of us by and has made a lot of people's best of 2016 year end list is Overwatch.
Oh, now, before we talk about Overwatch, let's do a little ad.
Oh, okay.
And then we'll tease the Overwatch chat.
Yes.
So you'll come back after the ad, listen to us talk about Overwatch.
Big tease. Listen to us talk about something that came out 8 months ago. Hey,
that is literally... The mission statement of our podcast. But we are sponsored yet again by Loot Gaming.
Mm-hmm.
The good folk at Loot Crate have decided to support our show, specifically with the Loot Gaming arm of their products.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of space, we were speaking about space before, right?
Yeah.
We were talking about disappointing things in space. Can you tell me anything about a bit exciting about space?
Yeah, this is not disappointing at all. So, Adam... I haven't done an ad like this yet, so I'm gonna change it up. Adam, do you need your gaming collectibles fix?
Yes.
Correct answer.
I need it real bad.
Now, you can own a piece of the biggest and best gaming universes with Loot Gaming. Loot Gaming delivers exclusive, premium licensed apparel, figures and gear from new blockbuster releases, breakout indies, and evergreen classics. Does that sound good to you, Adam?
Mate, I was hoping that's exactly what you were going to say.
Well, I delivered. Blast off into the sky and fly through space with Loot Gaming's latest theme. It is space.
Oh, what? That's lucky. I was just thinking about space.
You got a lot of it up in your head.
Now I feel like a fuckwit.
No, I love you. I'm sorry. Big claim from the folks at Loot Gaming. So you get this package and you're literally going to be blasted into space.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
What an offer.
That's where you want to be, man.
Pay us $20 a month and we'll shoot you into the sun.
The way the world's been going, you want to be up in space. That's where the next wave's going to happen.
Or distract yourself with a bunch of gaming collectibles.
Yeah.
Celebrating franchises that reach beyond the stars to new planets and strange species, this Stellar Crate is 100% exclusive and includes items from the Mass Effect, Destiny, XCOM, and Ratchet & Clank franchises. Order now before this crate enters warp drive. Now, you had a go at them last week for this.
I want to have another go at a different piece of copy that I missed.
Yeah.
There's nothing beyond the stars. There's stars forever, and then the universe ends.
Well, so the universe is ever expanding.
Yeah. So there's nothing beyond the stars. There's always stars.
What? Because if it's ever expanding, can you ever get to the point where it's expanding?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I reckon if I eat another fucking cheeseburger, I just might.
Because you're expanding.
Maybe my waistline will get there.
Fellow.
The cheeseburger theme's next month in Loot Crate.
Oh, man, I would love that.
Speaking of next month, you have until the 27th of December at 9 p.m. Pacific time in America to subscribe to this month's one and receive this month's crate. And then it's cut off, so you'll get the next one, which might be cheeseburger or whatever, but we don't know. So head to lootcrate.com.
I'm going to take a swing and say it won't be cheeseburger.
Well,
I would love to see what copy they give us if it is cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Someone in that office has a lot of fun with the metaphors on these ads that they give us.
Now, let's finish the ad. Head to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the code filthycasuals to save $3 off any new subscription today. And there's a bunch of different boxes. It's not all gaming. There's a pets one, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So if you've got a pet, you get the crate. Every month you get like a little toy for your pet.
Oh, Loot Crate's fucking sick.
It's so good.
I love Loot Crate. And I don't have to say that because they ain't sponsoring shit for me.
Yeah.
But I think Loot Crate's fucking sick.
It's a cool idea.
It's a very cool idea.
Yeah.
Very cool idea. Good on you, Crate.
Yeah.
So, thanks to them for sponsoring the show. Go over there. Show them how thankful you are this holiday season.
Yeah.
Can you put, like, sleigh bells behind all of that? And it won't make sense while we're talking about space.
That's great.
Put sleigh bells and then the sound of sleigh bells entering warp drive.
Which won't sound like anything because it's impossible to do that.
But
Mark picked up on it as well. It's meant to be warp speed.
It's annoying, right?
What it's meant to be before it enters warp speed? So it's like disappeared. It's gone too fast, far away from you and you can't get to it. Is that what it's meant to mean?
You turn on the warp drive to go to warp speed.
Yeah.
It's hyperdrive. In Star Wars, it's the hyperdrive.
Yeah. In Star Trek, it's the warp drive.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is this... Wait, is Loot Crate canon as part of the Star Wars universe?
Yeah.
Have they got to change that term in all the films now?
They are Rogue canon. 2. This is the direct sequel to Rogue 1, which was a good movie, and anyone who thinks more is pretentious.
Oh, actually, I was going to say maybe we should talk about Rogue 1 a bit more. Yeah.
I'm happy to. I think I'm going to go see it tonight. Just
I'm
bragging.
Happy to. Yeah. There was one thing in it where I was like... I was watching the movie and there were so many things that were good about it, and I was like, it was ticking all my boxes. I'm like, it looks great and it's interesting and there's new stuff and there's old stuff.
Yeah,
there's even callbacks to the bloody
fuck. They must
prequels.
Be high when they come up with this stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they were. Yeah,
and then
they made the prequels kind of better in retrospect.
Yeah. You know, well that's impossible.
Well,
but
yeah,
I don't know. I'm a bit of a grump when it comes to those. There's a lot of people. I don't care too much, but it's just like, but they're just boring. That's their word. And that was my other thing with Rogue One. I think its biggest crime was that it was just a bit boring.
Yeah.
But the thing that happened, and everyone's talked about it, like I just heard fucking Mark Fernell going on about it, but he still gave it 4 rubber star dildos out of 5 or whatever he does.
You're pointing behind you as if Mark Fernell lives
in
the apartment
card.
Next to
it was in my car. And my
holding onto the window with white knuckles.
This is an apartment above. Building where everyone in the building has kind of similar sounding surnames.
Oh, yeah.
but fucking, this the cartoon Uncanny Valley, Tarkin and shit, that image... Of spoilers, that image of Leia at the end will be in my nightmares until I die. It's horrific.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get past it. And what I didn't understand was why not just make those scenes with Vader, who's a much more interesting character.
I completely agree.
Yeah, show Tarkin in the reflection of a window for like one scene. Ooh, cool, Tarkin. Yeah, how'd they do that?
Yeah.
I don't know, right?
Yeah.
They even did it better in fucking episode 3 with some cunt and gave him some makeup, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I just... It was too much, and in full light, like, don't do it in full light. Occasionally when he was in the shadows, it looked okay.
just have him always hiding behind a plant.
Yeah, like, just, I don't care, anything.
Well, he was
in
crowd shots with other real humans, and it just made it so much more apparent that he was fake.
It looked far, and it took me completely out of it, and I was like, I'm done. I'm a bit fucking done, and I got to see it again. It's not my final verdict.
But
I did think... That it was, but my biggest thing about it is, as I've said, I love feeling things.
When
you can make me feel something, I'm all on board.
Yeah.
And like, it got to the end of that movie, and to be fair, the last 5 minutes with Vader is the best Star Wars thing ever.
It's a fucking Star Wars cum shot. It's
but
a ridiculous.
Yeah.
they didn't earn it.
Here's my big problem.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, it's so good.
Yeah.
But you can take that out of the movie and just watch it and it's as good.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Whereas if the movie was about Vader hunting down Jyn, which Vader did during this period, right?
Yeah.
I've read novels. I've read the commie bookie, right?
Yeah.
Like, the little red book.
The little red book. Mein Kampf and all those. But
are they canon? Wow.
Like, you know, if it was a story about some shit's going down, they've got to... I would have... structured it completely differently. I would have had him get the plans halfway through the movie and then thrown them in a situation where they were fucked and they couldn't get out of, and it was all about them trying to get the plans that they have.
So just that, like, handing it through the door thing right at the end for the back half.
It became
the film.
I felt like I was watching like some cut scenes of fucking Battlefront towards the end of that movie.
Yeah.
Like, it was like, get to the thing and press the button and use the joystick and do the
climbing sequence. Like,
even if the first half of the film had set up the characters better, I would have been fine with a bunch of fetch quests, but like, they just didn't introduce each character properly. Like, you didn't know who they were, what
you
their motivations
stop,
were.
You have a title, and then it says this guy is good at grappling hooks and
Creedence
climbing.
Creedence Clearwater Revival plague in the background.
I thought I was gonna
freeze frame record scratch. This is me.
Well, I thought I was gonna see a stupid reference, but I thought I was gonna see Ocean's 11 in space.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought I was.
That's
gonna
what.
See.
That's what.
Yeah.
I've
I'll go you one number.
Describe it as.
Yeah, yeah, but it's
it
not that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not that at all.
Oh, maybe I won't go tonight.
I was hearing Saving Private Ryan in space, which it was closer to.
It was closer to.
Yeah. There were lots of characters who were a little thin, which they are as it was well in Saving Private Ryan. And that made me totally okay with it. Like, I wasn't expecting those characters to get developed. I kind of liked the thing of there being people who aren't interesting in the Star Wars world, because all those other movies, all the characters
That's
are so
stupid.
Larger than life.
Why not just make them interesting?
Because if every character is larger than life and melodramatic, I mean interesting in the sense of them being important to the universe.
You know what I would have liked?
I mean, they're just like, they're these tiny people who no one really would have known that much and that
but
sort of
then
shit.
You have to make them real. If they are insignificant, make them like a real in a day-to-day real person sense.
Totally. Blind guy was ridiculous. Like, big gun guy was ridiculous. And I don't remember their names, and I know them as blind guy and big gun guy.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is that I don't particularly give a huge shit about Star Wars.
Well, I do. Well,
yeah.
That's going to hurt
or
you.
Or filmmaking as an art. Right. So,
myself.
I was totally okay with popcorn bullshit for this movie, and I got exactly that.
Yeah.
And you're totally right. They missed an opportunity to do a cool, different new thing with more depth to it, but I wasn't looking for that, so I was
happy.
But
aren't they're kind of treating these as like, these are meant to be sort of disposable, aren't they? Like,
yes, but you can make a movie that is a one-off disposable thing and have like properly drawn characters and a real art.
But none of the Star Wars movies have that. None of them have ever had that.
But
they are all bad. That's the secret thing about Star Wars.
But that doesn't mean that they always have to be bad.
No, but
it's the writing where it's failing. And it's all these fucking new franchise shit that's coming out. Fucking Batman versus Superman and fucking Suicide Squad.
Yeah, as a Batman fan, that shit must be way more painful for you.
I didn't despise Batman versus Superman. On a second watch, the first time I watched it, I quite liked it.
Well, you've come to the right podcast, because this motherfucker over here.
Yeah. I really like
did
it. Yeah.
Big old, yeah. Yeah. Did big old cummies over Batman v Superman.
I think there's some nice stuff about it. I think it's inherently flawed in the writing. As all the, they don't spend enough time. Just take, and they can't now because it's a fucking machine.
Yeah.
But you need like a year, 2 years to get the fucking script like it's so good.
It's always amazing
seems
to me.
On his Batman
he
one.
Does.
He seems like he, and you know, he's won undeserved Oscars.
But even like Argo is a good movie with scenes that make sense in order and
a
proper narrative and character motivation.
Argo is
a great movie.
I think he's a fucking incredible filmmaker. But you never know what happens when you get a great idea and a great film and you put it through this fucking studio franchise.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens in there. It just seems like one dude up the top who's just going, no, make it shit.
What if the bodies were all floppy when you kick them?
He's fucking ruined everything.
Yeah.
I read an article about Suicide Squad where it was like the people really liked the trailer, and then when they had test screenings of the actual film, people weren't into it, and so they got the company that cut the trailer to go back and recut the movie. What the fuck kind of idea is that?
I also heard that they wrote the whole thing in 6 months.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
6 months to write a feature film. Six weeks.
That's
one episode of Faulty Towers.
Yeah.
That's literally how long they would take to write each one of them.
Yeah. It's crazy. And also, like, I just don't get how you can be let loose on, like, a beloved character. Like, I haven't seen Batman v Superman, but, like, Batman just straight up kills people.
Yeah.
Which you were saying before is the big thing that he doesn't do. Like, how can DC allow that?
And there's
like,
there's a great video on YouTube, right? There's lots of fucking that whole movie, Zack Snyder. I think there's a big thing. Someone else said this, not me, but it's about Snyder will go over, he'll go for moments over scenes, right? He'll go for a beautiful moment, which he does really well.
Yeah.
Like I know the story of how Bruce Wayne loses his parents and stuff, but the opening of that film when I first saw it made me fucking cry.
Right? Yeah.
Like it just really affected me, and that's why I loved it so much, because I was in.
Right? Yeah, close-ups of like the gun and shit are
it
really
was a
well
series
done.
Of like beautiful
for
paintings.
For the listener, Knox, right? Knox like mimed a gun with his hand as he said that. It was a great moment. You went like this, a gun.
It was a great moment, a terrible scene though.
What if you don't know what a gun is?
Yeah,
I liked
it. He's still not with two fingers.
Snyder goes through and he talks about there's an interview of
that's
YouTube
the
video where they've got him, and he's talking about, he's like, oh, the book I base it off, Batman Kills All the Time, and he booked off the Frank Miller one, Dark Knight Returns. Mm. And then someone just goes through and shows every moment in that book and in the cartoon version of that book, which is phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, it's really
where
good.
Batman actually doesn't kill anyone.
Right. Yeah.
He's very, like, morally, he's taking a step over the line and like shooting people and breaking people's arms, and he doesn't give a fuck anymore, but he actually doesn't kill anybody in those books. So it's confused. For me, it's lazy. It's the laziness that upsets me, because it's like, yeah, you can have the Batmobile blow up a car full of people and drive through it and it's a cool scene, but that's so easy. It's so easy for Batman to kill it, because he has the power to do it. But what's interesting is if it's like he's put in a situation where he can kill people, but he chooses not to.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that was a bit of a gripe if you want to show him
be broken and shit, where, like, don't do that by having him kill someone. Do it by having him nearly kill someone, like, start to walk away and they go, ah, fuck, I got to turn around.
The branding people was brilliant. The branding people was brilliant. Yeah. It's like, it says those people go to jail and it's basically a death sentence if you have a branding on him. So he's like, yeah, people are dying by my hand, but my hands still aren't dirty.
Yes. Yeah, right.
You
know,
he's gone this ridiculous step forward, but then they just kind of say that and then he starts killing people and it's
and people are doing all that like working backwards mental gymnastics bullshit where they're like, no, but the Joker in Suicide Squad is the old Robin, and that's because that's why it says ha 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 on his Batman shit, on his Robin shit, I mean.
Yeah,
and the movie was fine. It's just a secret at this point that it's good. Yeah. You don't know yet why it's good.
Yeah, but that's like a problem with everything now, is like this, the fans and the shitty studio decisions that meet halfway and make bad products.
Totally. Yeah. And that's exactly what I'm doing with Final Fantasy 15, by the way.
Right.
Is going in and going, no, but this happened off screen, which is actually kind of cool, but you just didn't see it. You've got to talk to this stranger in a village.
But you're not claiming that the game is actually objectively good.
No. It's totally a fucking mess, that game, but I really like it.
And so is Rogue One, the end.
Yeah, can we go back to, anyway, lootcrate.com/filthycasuals. Can we go back to Star Wars for 1 second? Here's what I'd like to see them do. I said this to you two the other day. So, you know, these like film, they're like making these kind of little standalone films that aren't like, you know, episode chapters. So, you know, Star Wars, as we see at the start of it, set a long, long, long time ago. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see them do one where they just catch up and it's like set in the Star Wars world, it's set way in the future, aka our time. And it's got none of the same characters. It's just a shit rom-com that just happens to have the Star Wars branding. I think that would be cool.
In the background.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Like Waiting for the Perfect Man, a Star Wars story.
It's my 28th birthday and I still haven't found a husband. Time to cut the Christmas cake. Why is she having Christmas cake at her birthday? I meant birthday cake. Her birthday's on Christmas. It's a beautiful time of year.
Lightsabers have just become readily available in stores.
There's kids just playing with them.
Just quickly while we're talking movies, I saw Arrival the other night.
Jesus
Christ. I haven't seen it yet.
It's very good. Such a good movie. It's such a fucking good movie.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. It might be my favorite movie of the year.
I actually haven't seen a lot of movies this year, so yeah, it's not beating out much for me, but it's great.
Yeah.
It's
I watched
really
Gremlins
great.
2 again.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Holds up.
Yeah, it's actually it's kind of like way ahead of its time.
Right.
Like, it's doing all this shit with like
meta
stuff.
It's
got all these great jokes in it that are like very like post Family Guy jokes.
Like community.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not awesome stuff, but it's way ahead of its time.
Yeah, right.
Some of it.
Wow.
I used to love that.
Do you know what I mean by post Family Guy? I hate that I have to use that as a rep. Like, very aside-y kind of jokes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I saw Love Actually for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that movie, but I fucking don't care to talk about it. What's Overwatch like, you reckon?
Yeah.
I fucking adore Overwatch. Mm-hmm. I think it's like the most fun I've ever had playing a video game.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, because I really love Team Fortress 2.
Okay.
When that came out, I just thought that was like the design and the cartooniness of it, and the characters and the ranks and stuff, and how you had to learn to use each character, and it's you know, it was kind of like six different first person shooters in one, you know.
Yeah.
But this is like 20 different first person shooters in one. Literally, the thing that's so great about it, that I find so great about it, is being incredible at one character does not necessarily mean you are good at all of them.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you might be good at a few others that are a little bit similar, but you really have to learn how to use every character.
Right.
And it's just I've never played a game like this where I haven't gotten bored of it.
Right.
Wow. Like that this quickly. I'm just so into it. I love it.
Would it be a game of the year for you?
Definitely.
Wow.
Definitely.
Okay.
I don't look, but like I haven't played that many games. I'm a bit of a piece of shit, you know. I can't afford too many games and stuff, but man, this was like, because I played Battleborn, if you're aware of Battleborn.
Yes, yes. That was like the fucking LA Ice version of Overwatch.
Yeah,
right?
But I didn't know that at the time, right? Because they didn't have, from memory, I might be wrong, but when I was at PAX last year, I don't remember seeing any Overwatch stuff, but they had a huge Battleborn thing.
Yeah.
And I played a bit of it, and I was like, this is so cool and so unique, and it's like fucking TF2, and I can't wait to play it. And then I ended up getting a PlayStation, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to fucking buy Battleborn. But then I heard there was Overwatch, and I was like, there's two games the same.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of research on it, and everyone was just like, it's way better.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so, and then I spoke to Banjo from Good Game.
Oh yeah,
Because he's a fan of my comedy sketch group, and I was like, what do you reckon? What should I get? And he was like, definitely Overwatch.
Yeah.
Don't fuck around.
Yep.
And I'm so glad I made that call.
Right.
Because Battleborn's just dead now.
It is totally dead. Yeah.
They just made this whole thing and it fucking died.
And Overwatch has been doing like DLC and event, like holiday events that people are really into.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's amazing, right? Because this is how this is how long it's been since I've played console. Was when I got my PlayStation 4. I was like, what do you mean it's got to be hooked up to the internet? Fuck you. I've got to pay to play online? Get fucked.
I'm going to have to call Telstra.
I was so
plug
mad.
My modem into the back of the console.
But Overwatch has sold that whole concept for me.
Oh, right.
Because like in having the game for only a couple of months, they've introduced two new characters for free,
right?
New maps for free. Yeah, holiday events. So for Halloween, there was like certain specific holiday games. At the moment, it's like Winter Wonderland stuff.
Right.
So you can get like different skins. And
that's funny.
And it's
Christmas. Let's go shoot each other.
It's really fun. But there's like specific, like there's this one specific game that's like a whole new, it's only based around one character and it changes her skills a bit. And so you have to relearn how to use that character and stuff. And
seeing the contrast between that and Battlefront as well, it like the amount that how much stuff comes out for free for Overwatch versus the extra $80 or whatever they make you spend on like some shit.
Just more stuff that you should have got when you first got the game.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know, like it's brilliant, and I think Blizzard are the fucking best. And because what I found out about it is apparently this game had been in development, I might be wrong here, but for like 10 years, right? As the next MMO after World of Warcraft.
Yeah, yes. I think that's true.
They were World of Warcraft went great, and because they're real smart, they were like, well, this isn't going to be around forever, so let's start working on the next thing. And they
Mr. T's doing weird ads for it right now. Do you remember that?
Oh.
Mr. T was like, I pity the fool that doesn't play. I nearly did the voice, but I thought, nah, what? That doesn't play well. And it was like Danny DeVito and stuff.
Wow.
They played them at cinemas before movies.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, man. Either.
Lisa Wilkinson, does that name mean anything to you?
Not at all. But and so I think that's why it's just turned out like so good and so fucking balanced, right?
Yeah.
Because they were developing these characters and working it and it was going to be the next thing, and then they got to a point and they went, actually, this is shit. This isn't going to work as an MMO. It's not great. Why don't we just take everything we've got and turn it into this competitive shooter?
Right.
And it's just
paid off.
I just think it's the fucking best. I can't praise the game enough.
Wow. Right.
So many people have been saying that now that it's all like the end of year wrap up stuff as well.
Yeah.
And I've really wanted to go back in and try it again. And every time I have, which is like three times in the last two, three, 4 weeks maybe.
Yeah.
I have played Let's Update Overwatch instead. It has had like a gigabyte and a half every time to do. And then you go, oh yeah, I'll update it and then forget and then don't come back, which more my problem.
Well, and that's like if you're a regular player, you're going, great, another update, more new
content.
Yeah,
totally. But for me, it's fuck you, another update. I got to call Telstra. I got
to. There's so much to that game. It didn't fucking need more content, but they've given it to you and it's the best.
Yeah.
You just go, it's almost too much. I'm just so happy. I'm so happy that they've been so nice and kept, and just kept things coming.
Well, it's
for
cool.
You.
And again, it's like it's cool when a company gets it, and you can tell that a company is kind of run by fans of video games, and not just all commerce of like, hey, we can wring 80 more bucks out of these cunts. It's like, we know what it's like to be on the other side of this. How cool would this feel to just get all this stuff for free?
For free, it's been like reaffirming and hook it up to the internet. I say, bloody hook them up.
Now, speaking of being hooked up to the internet,
this is all great because this all ties in very nicely.
Yeah.
The regular listeners of the show, they can how deep into this episode are we?
Pretty deep. They an hour plus.
Up to our nuts in it.
Yeah.
They cannot believe we've gone this far into this episode and not brought this up. So Super Mario Run came out this week.
Oh, Jesus. I thought you were going to talk about emails and shit, which I feel like we should check up on.
Probably.
Maybe do a fashion report.
Okay. Super Mario Run came out on Friday. We actually were going to do this, I think, like the day it came out, but we delayed it. I'm glad we did because it gave us a bit more time with it. I've played it fucking heaps. Ben, you've played it. You've been playing it a fair bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Knox,
yeah.
You've gone in a bit.
A tiny bit.
Yeah. Mark, what about you?
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's so good. And it's even better on Android.
Here we go. they've just said a very vague next year for Android.
Oh, so it is actually coming out for Android.
It's coming out.
I thought it was an Apple thing because Apple had Miyamoto on stage at that.
It'd be very silly not to. Like, Android is so big, especially in Asia and stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Where Nintendo is just massive, I assume.
I'm assuming Apple maybe bankrolled some of this or something
they developed together. Nintendo went to Apple and were like, we want to make this game. And the thing was, I think from what I was watching, Apple were like, right, well, you're going to make it free.
You spend a lot of time watching Apple presentations for someone who doesn't own an Apple phone.
I used to be a big Apple fanboy. And then, it was one of those things where I was only ever on a plan or had hand-me-downs of, iPhones and stuff. I'm such a sad little white boy.
Had holes in them. My Apple phones were one generation behind.
I never had to buy one, right? And then my phone broke. And I was like, that's all right. I'll just buy a new one. 1,000? Just eat my fucking dick. I couldn't believe that was so expensive. And then I just saw that there were other things available. But I've got a Nexus and I want to get a Pixel because pure Android, I just think, in terms of operating system, is way fucking better than iOS, personally.
Partly, I think it might be the Android thing because Nintendo came out and flat out said the internet connection thing is piracy-based.
Yes.
That's why they're doing it. And Android is so much easier, I think, for people to pirate shit on.
Yeah.
So they're probably giving it a little bit of a
Well, also, they did develop it in tandem with Apple, and I think that it's like with the Rise of the Tomb Raider game, it was a timed exclusive. So you get 6 months exclusivity on Apple devices, and then it's going to come out on Android.
Also, okay, this was the one thing that annoyed me. So they sort of, for months they've had big banner on the App Store, December 15, it's out, click here to be notified as soon as it comes out. So I kind of assume that, we'll get to midnight, December 15, it'll click over, and it'll just be on the store.
Yep.
So I sit up, I wait up, nothing happens. And by the way, this is when nearly everyone I know is at a midnight screening of Rogue One. I mean? This is an era where if you say something's out on this day, people are camping out overnight to get it. Midnight launches are such a big thing.
Yeah.
Nintendo, fuck it. It just doesn't show up at midnight. I go, okay, that's weird. I go to bed. I get up the next day. It's still not there.
Yeah.
The whole day goes past and there's no, you can't have a banner up on the App Store for months trumpeting this date and making this big song and dance about it.
It's not as if there aren't separate app stores for each country. There are. There very specifically are. Just put a different banner on for Australia if it's 9 p.m. or whatever.
Totally.
So how long did it take to come out?
It was 9 or 10 p.m. that day, I think.
It was the next day.
Yeah. It was up the next morning when I got up.
Yeah, have a little go here.
They missed it by a whole day.
That's right. It was 3 a.m. the next morning.
Can't lock us out. Because all their systems are region locked. So you can't have us locked out of all your systems, but then have, oh no, we went that date in America. That really fucked me off. But anyway, so I got it, went in. Now basically you get three levels for free.
Yeah.
And then if you want the full game, you have to pay $15.
Yes.
Which, Jesus Christ, people are behaving like this is one of the worst things that a company has ever done to them. Yeah, and it's been driving me fucking insane.
That was their whole thing. That was like, Apple were like, you got to make it for free. And they were like, we want to try something different. We want to make a game that you have to pay for.
To be fair, I mean, sure, like $15 for an... In terms of the economy of apps and games, sure, that is expensive. But this isn't some two-bit developer making a piece of shit.
Yeah.
This is one of the best games designers in the world tailor-making an experience for you on your phone, which is fucking great.
Yeah, so I was...
How much do you get for $15, though?
Like, so are you getting like a look in a second?
So Mark's playing it on Adam's
Mark's
phone.
Mark's loading it up here. It's downloading some data.
Yeah, I'm already pretty fucked off about it, to be honest. The data download...
Is yours not up to date, Nox?
I guess not.
All right, so this doesn't happen every time.
No, I don't think so.
I did get a bit of a tingle when I saw on a phone like the red screen and the white Nintendo.
Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty cool. Yeah, it looks great.
Well, this is also the highest quality screen I think that a Nintendo game's ever been on.
Oh, right.
Like, this is like the best Retina. Mario's ever looked.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, pretty much.
And,
is it loaded yet, or do you just want to
It should be just about ready to go. Black. Oh, wait, maybe because my phone... I've got... Fucking GarageBand takes up heaps of space on that phone. Is it just switched off?
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Use that.
Are you making little songs?
So it basically, so for the $15, you get, what is it, 6 worlds of 4 levels each.
Well, and I was just going to say this really quick. Like, there's a bunch of Final Fantasy games and, like, XCOM and shit on phones that cost more than Mario Run does.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're looking at, like, a full proper release game, which I think this qualifies as.
Totally.
It is not a crazy price
at all. So this is, on the surface of it, you look at it and you go, there's not a ton of levels in there, but it is the depth of this thing. It kind of reveals itself over time because for me, and I've read a lot of reviews, so there's two modes. There's just the campaign, essentially, where you
world
just go
tour.
Through the levels, world tour, and then there's Toad Rally, which is where you're competing, you're racing against someone to get the most coins, and the better you do...
Separate but equal!
Edit that out.
What happened to you? I felt like you were fine and then something happened.
I was doing my Toad voice.
Oh, right. Okay.
That is terrifying, isn't it?
So you compete against other people, you get the most coins, and then Toads come out and watch you.
Yep.
And then you, at the end, whoever's got the most coins, and you get all the Toads.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you steal other people's Toads.
Oh.
And it's so addictive. It's like gambling. Like, it's so addictive, and it's so, like, you get on a hot streak and then you lose one and you're like, well, now I've got to play again to get those Toads back.
Totally.
Your friends that you have linked to your account, they show up from time to time in your thing, so you can challenge there. It's not live. It's like ghost data from, like, a previous run that they've done. And to me, that's the... So by playing through and finishing the games in the World Tour, you then unlock more levels to play in the Rally.
Yes.
And for me, the Rally is the thing that keeps me coming back.
Right. See, I'm the opposite. So I played the first 3 levels and was like, this is a bit shallow. I don't want to pay $15. And then an hour later, I paid $15.
Yeah.
And, like, I just fucking smashed through all of the proper, like, the normal levels. And then once you finish the levels, or even just, like, you just from the start, you can collect the pink coins throughout the levels.
Yeah.
Once you collect all of them, the levels change slightly. You collect the purple coins in the same levels, and then I think black
coins. And then
there's
black coins, yeah.
And that's where the game is. Like, that's like, there's only 4 times 6, whatever that
24.
Is.
24.
There's something like that many levels.
But you go through them each 3 times. And the coins are hard because you're automatically running.
Yeah.
So if you miss one, you
got to redo the whole
you
thing.
You can kill yourself. You can put yourself in a bubble, but you've only got a limited number of them.
Yeah.
So, and you're also on a timer.
Yes.
So you really do. It's like we were saying with Bloodborne. Like, you kind of have to.
You got to do a perfect run.
You sort of have to go through and know where they all are and be ready to go up a path or down a path or whatever it is.
And it's great. Like, the levels are easy to get through if you're just zipping through them.
Yes.
Like,
but
Mario games, the last however many of them, have been about going through the level multiple times. Like 3D Land and 3D World, you went through multiple times to get those coins. And
even just the new Super Mario Bros. Back on the Wii, it was the exact same thing.
That stuff's really fun.
I mean, this has more depth to it. This kind of retroactively makes me fucking hate the last few new Super Mario Brothers 2D games that they brought out on the Wii U and the Wii. Like, there's more depth in this. Those ones feel really phoned in, whereas this has more kind of like depth and has forced them to kind of change the gameplay mechanics. Like, just the automatically running has like changes how you play a Mario game.
Yeah, and it does feel different, and it feels really cool. And they've done it in that like really polished right out of the gate Nintendo way of like all of the little bits and pieces of that just one button control works really well.
Yes. I'm fucking hooked, man.
Are you playing it or are you on my Facebook?
Playing it while
are you on my Facebook updating my status to say I am gay?
Putting pictures of my balls on your, on your cover photo. I didn't expect it because like with the whole running thing, I didn't know how it would work and I didn't expect it to be actually so hard, like how you can fuck it up so easily and stuff. It's
so intuitive. It just feels great. Like it's man, I've sunk more time into it so far than anything. Like literally, I'll see a link come up on Twitter of like a bad review of it, and I'll read someone pissing all over it, and then that'll remind me like, oh yeah, I should play it now. And then all of a sudden, it's 45 minutes later. Like man, it's everything you could want out of a mobile game. Well, it's the perfect like. Man, they could have just put Super Mario Brothers, the original one, on there and made fucking $1 million out of that. But the fact that they've built this from the ground up and really had an eye on it being an experience for the phone. The my only problem with it, and this is just a nitpick for the sake of
great.
ordering more lingerie for Christmas. With your
this
credit
is what
card.
We should do every time we talk about a game that a guest hasn't played. We just have them playing it in the corner while we talk about.
Yeah,
really
the kids' table. This is nitpicking for the sake of nitpicking. I think they're fucking crazy for not putting the original Mario Brothers theme in there somewhere.
What? Yeah. It's not in there?
Yeah.
No, like, it's all new music?
So it's this music from they do these new Super Mario Brothers games, the 2D versions that they put out.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
That little noise.
And they seem to have this crazy idea that music is as iconic as the original ones, which it's not. Nah. It's shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, and there's a time limit?
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a time.
I kind of don't love the art style that they've used for this from the new Super Mario. I kind of wish they had given this its own look, whatever that is. I wish they had differentiated it a bit more. But that's just me. That's just me being an obsessive.
It's very colourful and clear, though. And for
totally.
Like, when I was playing it, I've just been playing it on the train from time to time, and I'm shaking back and forth. Flipping around, you know.
You're flipping around.
Being knocked about on this train.
Okay.
I get a real bumpy train, and but. The clarity of it is good for when you're moving.
Mm, totally. Yeah. And it's really smart because you notice that the levels only take up about half of the screen. So the bottom half of the screen
all for your thumb.
Is just decoration so that you figure it out. Just stuff like that. Yeah. Like, it's so smart. The interface is great. The little kingdom builder thing is surprisingly cool.
Yeah. Oh, you can also you can build. Oh, yeah, right. I did hear about that.
You unlock characters by getting more toads to come and cheer you on in the toad rally thing. So I'm kind of like frantically trying to get enough. Like there's certain colored toads that only appear in certain levels. So the ghost house, for example, is kind of the only way to get the purple toads to come out, which you need to get if you want to unlock Luigi.
Right.
And the ghost house is really hard in the toad rally. So it kind of forces you to kind of do all this stuff. And
A complaint that I would have is that like you've put it on a phone, the piece of equipment that's the easiest to contact people on, and then done fucking friend codes again.
I know.
I haven't bothered adding anybody.
You can link it to your Facebook and your Twitter. And it shows people up who are on your Facebook who've also got it linked.
Oh, can you?
So that's kind of a good workaround. But I know. I read a review that sort of said, like, it's great, but then they ruined it by being Nintendo, which is kind of true.
And the always online thing does suck. Like,
it hasn't been an issue for me yet because I haven't caught a flight or anything
that.
But also, you live in the city. Even some of the suburbs have issues with that.
Totally. Even parts of the city. I'm with Vodafone, man. Yeah. Like, I can fucking climb a tower and get no reception.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be able to play it in Werribee where I'm from.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, reception's real shitty
there. Even like,
people steal your phone there.
Yeah, stab you.
But even just like, these little complaints and stuff, there's so much in there and it's only just come out. Like, and this is what you're saying about, Overwatch and the stuff that they've gifted you with. Like, Nintendo used to not do any of that, but they bought out this DLC for Mario Kart on the Wii U that was awesome and, like, had all these extra tracks in it, and they started doing it with Smash Brothers as well. Like, the exciting thing about this is, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Like, we'll get more levels. Yeah. I'm sure they'll patch up little things in the competitive side that's not great.
Yep.
I would imagine offline support will come eventually. I think they'll
Since they've said it specifically for piracy, once they've kind of seen, it's done what it's going to do.
Yeah.
Maybe they will then.
I think they'll chill out on that a little bit, surely.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with like Animal Crossing and shit that they're making now
as
well.
This bodes well really for like all the rest of the stuff that they're going to do.
Animal Crossing would make an amazing mobile game.
How fucking good would that be? Checking in every day to, you know, pick your weeds and whatever.
But I love that game.
You must have been pretty high when you picked...
But I love that game on the 3DS, but like no one has a 3DS. So I just think, imagine actually playing that game, but actually having friends that are playing it at the same time.
Yeah.
And when they announced it, I sort of thought, but it'll probably be some phoned in piece of shit version. But seeing how much they've put into this makes me think, no, they're going to go all out with it. Mm. Like they're going to make this amazing experience. But so here's what I've been thinking is kind of is a really interesting thing about the timing of Super Mario Run and when it's come out. So we've talked a lot about the Nintendo Switch and how they kind of just announced it. Mm. And then it's not until the middle of January that they're doing a big kind of reveal of like, here's the games that are going to be on it.
Yeah.
Here's how much it's going to cost. Here's the tech specs of it and everything, which we sort of think is kind of crazy to leave it that long, like to only do that 2 months before it comes out. But the timing of this, and I don't know if this is deliberate, but like, so Mario Run comes out middle of December, which, you know, there'd be a whole generation of people who the last Nintendo console they owned was a 64, maybe even a Super Nintendo.
Mike Bonanno, for example.
Yeah.
Who haven't played a Nintendo game properly for like close to two decades. Everyone has an iPhone. Everyone has a smartphone. Yeah. Everyone's going to have gotten Super Mario Run and had a crack on it.
Yep.
All of a sudden, those people are like, oh, that's right, Mario's awesome, which then, you know, you give them a month, they do the big Switch announcement.
Yeah.
There's probably a Mario coming out in the launch window of that, if rumor is to be believed.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Nostalgia is such a powerful thing. All those people are still riding high from Super Mario Run.
Totally. The Nintendo Classic.
Yeah, exactly. All those people all of a sudden are like, that's right, Nintendo's awesome. I'm going to get a Switch.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is deliberate timing, but they're in the best position they've ever been in
and
to really capitalize on this, but also like to completely fuck it right up.
Watch the 600 Nintendo Switches they make sell out immediately.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, no.
Yeah. I really hope it doesn't happen. Yeah. I just want them to be great again.
So the big rumor is Mario Kart 8, Splatoon, Smash Brothers are all being re-released for the Switch in the first 6 months.
Right.
New 3D Zelda at launch, apparently. Mm. Oh, no, sorry. New 3D Mario at launch.
Yes.
Yeah. New 3D Zelda in July the first 6 months.
Yeah.
So that's like their big four top tier franchises all coming out in the first 6 months of a console. They've never done that before.
Yeah.
And to the man on the street who's slept on Nintendo for a little while, that's huge.
Yeah.
So,
you probably sell the Nintendos that you're sleeping on and you can move off of the street.
I'll buy it just like, because I played like Super Mario Galaxy and Galaxy 2. Those games are so fucking
so good.
Yeah. They're so fun and they're just the fucking best. The one on GameCube, the water, whatever it's called,
Sunshine.
They're fucking just the best.
Yeah,
man.
When they really go all out with a big, and I think that's what they're cooking up. I think they're cooking up Galaxy 3 or an extension of that.
Some equivalent to like the next like 64-ish style.
Basically,
one.
Totally that. Yeah. I think they would go back to the 64 one again for nostalgia reasons and emulate that. Not literally emulate, but you know.
Galaxy kind of did that, but just with other stuff involved.
Well, and the rumor is that the GameCube, like the GameCube games, will be on the eStore, the eShop for the Switch. So all of a sudden,
Double Dash is the greatest.
Double Dash,
I would argue, and I've had very lengthy arguments about people.
Yeah,
but Double Dash looks great. The racing is so fucking intense.
Yeah.
Way more intense than Wii and Wii U, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah.
I would adore the HD version.
I really loved
game.
Being able to play that with someone who was perhaps like not as into games, because they could just sit on the back of your cart and do the attacks for you.
Yeah.
Like, it was a really good way to kind of like play with someone and just sort of like kind of gently ease them into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like,
it had the best maps. It had the best.
I agree.
And like, you know, like the motorbikes and stuff were whatever. I don't think they added the bikes.
I don't think they
added too much to Mario Kart, but just that basic, just putting two people on the kart.
But that was the first one where they brought in like not just being actual go-karts. Like everyone had their own fucked car. Like Donkey Kong's driving around in a big barrel and you could unlock a pipe. I remember getting to the end and you could unlock King Boo and you could unlock the big piranha plant and going like, this is so cool that they're bringing these characters in and you could actually play as them.
Mario Kart DS was great as well.
They did that in that one.
Yeah.
They had
weird
little cars in that.
They won't have DS games on this thing because you can't use both screens at once, can you?
No, they won't. But,
can't you really? You can't do that with this one?
It's either the TV or the tablet thing.
Yeah.
I think that's the goal.
They're pissing all that off, that support.
Which makes sense, with how badly the Wii U
that's why people, didn't want to make games for the Wii U. It was just too, they had to do a whole nother thing. It wasn't just porting it.
Yeah. Ben, what would you like to see as a, you know, we'll get update content for this, for Mario Run eventually.
Yeah.
What would you like to see?
Oh, I definitely want your Super Nintendo and Nintendo era visual style.
Yeah, I would love that.
That's probably my main one. Probably it's like Super Mario 3 specifically.
Yeah.
I want that skin. That's like all I want. And I'll play the whole thing again.
Like, I'd like Wario in there. I think you'll be able to have your Mii running around in there.
And they've
eventually
done that. Like, you can do that in with the Wii U Mario World.
With the Mario Maker, yeah.
Mario Maker. You can do that. Yes. Can't you? Yes. You change the aesthetic to those.
Yeah.
If they, like, I don't think they would do this, but if they just plugged Mario 1 and 3 and everything into that game, and you're just always running and it's just those controls, it'd probably be a little shittier. But I would probably go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine there'll be like, yeah, there'll probably be expansion packs where it's like, here's a whole set of new levels that are all Mario World themed. Mario 3 themed or something.
I can see them releasing a whole new app that's like Mario, like Mario All-Stars for the Super Nintendo, but it's like, here's the old games packaged together for $10 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be awesome.
And some little tweaks to Toad Rally or maybe different modes of it. Like, it would be fun to be able to like click your friends on the friends list and challenge them, because the friend you add people on there and all it really does is just give you a leaderboard of how many toads you have versus how many your friends all have. It would actually be cool to be able to click Adam Knox and like I just take you on, and there'd be some kind of consequence to that, like
you'd steal my specific,
because when your ghost loses in this you don't actually lose the toad, like it doesn't affect you.
No, only
like
the person
plays
playing
your ghost.
So
yeah, it's great. I like, you know, anyone complaining about the $15, like this is what's great. Like, people will go out and spend $15 on lunch and not think twice about it. But this great fun experience. People make it, and it's like you don't have to buy it. Like, just don't buy it. Like, people treat it as if it's this like absolute affront to everything they hold dear.
A game is fucking $80, you know? Like, usually if you're buying something with maybe as much stuff, you know, you're paying four times the amount.
Well, like you were saying, you get, what was it, Battlefield 1? What game was it were you
all
talking
the,
about?
All the Battlefield
Star Wars
ones.
Battlefront specifically.
You buy the game and then to get all the stuff, you have to pay more. And
When I first got my PlayStation, it came, Battlefront came with it was like the thing. That's why Darth Vader's on it, right? But if I had to buy the game,
that would be great. Darth Vader's painted onto it, and it's just got Ratchet and Clank preloaded onto it.
But if I had to buy the game at the time, the game was $99, and then to get the expansions, to get the season pass, so you don't even get it all straight away.
Yeah.
It's like you'll get one every 4 months, or one every 3 months, an expansion pack. That was $80, and then there's no single player mode, there's no like campaign, so really to play the game you then have to spend at least $30 to get a 3 month subscription
online. Of course,
so you're in like over $200 literally just to play the game.
That's
which was really, I was just like, oh, I don't know if I can afford this. But I just did it because I was like, I had it and I kind of had to do it. I didn't have to buy the season pass at the time because I don't think there was any DLC out there.
Yeah.
But I knew if I didn't buy it,
well, this is the other thing that people, they make you do, they get these passes before they've even said what any of it's going to be.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's worse things going on in the world of games than Nintendo trying to get themselves out of the financial toilet by making a fun mobile game.
Well, I've read articles suggesting that Nintendo insisting on making this an actual paid game is good for the economy of mobile games. It stops shitty freeware games coming out and having pay to win and pay to unlock. It's like, no, let's make real games, release them at $15 and everyone
pay
benefits.
For quality.
Yeah. I've always said like Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Candy Crush, I like the game Candy Crush. I'd be happy to pay $10 to just have it instead of this bullshit where you get locked out for 24 hours and you know, all that crap.
Yeah, like, if Mario had that, it'd be so much worse.
Oh, totally. I would
die three times and it's
it.
Like, all right, see you in a week, cunt.
Yeah.
Share it with seven friends and unlock the next. That would have been brutal.
Yeah, it's getting games back to, I think that's kind of the worst affront to video games, is all that kind of shit seeping in, and it's cool that they, and they could have, you know what, they probably would have made more money by just doing microtransactions in it. Like, I'm loving it. I'd be spending more than, I would have spent more on it so far than just the $15 it cost me, for sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, because I'd like just tend not to.
Yeah, I probably would have just not played it.
It would have made me pissed off at the game and not want to play it.
Totally.
That's happened to me with the fucking Clash of whatever, the card one. It was just like, I wanted to keep playing it, but literally to get better, I had to spend money. So I was like, you know what? I got it for free. I'll spend $7.
Yeah.
And then I spent another $7 and I was like, fuck
fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not doing, I was like, fuck it, delete it. I'm just not doing it again.
It's bad stuff.
Whereas if I could play the game properly, I would have spent that 15 bucks happily and
easily, probably
still be playing it.
Never think about it. Yeah. I guess we should wrap it up for this week, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
We've been rabbiting on for a very long time. Mark Bonanno, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I don't get to talk about games. This is real fun.
Yeah, come back sometime
you out
for sure.
Now.
So you guys, Auntie Donna, are doing all the... You're at the Falls Festival over New Year's Eve, and then you're doing all the big comedy festivals next year.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be doing Adelaide, Perth, Melbourne. We're going all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to America, did I see?
Yeah, we're going to be touring the States for fucking the first time.
Great. Do you know whereabouts?
Not 100% yet, but chances are New York, Austin, and LA, and then there'll probably be a few more added on top of that. We might we've got it maybe in the works, but we might be performing at PAX in the States next
year. Oh, great. Oh, nice.
Yeah, the guy who runs it is a big Donna fan. The guy who runs the event anyway, and I just sent out a little tweet when I was there, and then he came up to me and he was like, I saw you here on Twitter, I'm a big fan, come to the States.
Oh, great.
Wow.
Do a show, it'd be sick to have you. And then I was like, told the guys, like, they want us to perform at PAX, and they're like, what's PAX? And I'm like, you don't know me, fuck you. So that's super exciting. Going to be doing the UK again, New Zealand.
Great.
The show's called Big Boys, we haven't written it yet. We're getting there.
Yeah,
I think
great.
It's going to be good.
So go check that out. By the way, we should mention this might be on – this hopefully will be on sale very soon.
Ah, yes.
We are going to do a live one of these.
Yes.
Our first one during the comedy festival, I think Saturday, April the 22nd is what we're aiming to. I'm just going to put it out. This is the secret.
Yes.
I'm just going to put it out there and then it'll
happen. You guys are the first to know. Don't tell anybody. But tell all your friends about the podcast.
Yeah, I think
– don't tell them why.
Yeah, just it'll be our little secret.
Yeah.
Just between you and Daddy.
We're the only ones who really love you.
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Yeah, I think like 3 or 4 in the afternoon or something like that. But yeah, the last Saturday of the Comedy Festival, we'll have guests. We'll do...
Yeah.
I don't know what we'll do, but we'll work something out.
Yeah.
We'll do something...
some special live.
We'll do something
shit.
A bit different
totally.
To this. We'll
maybe I can write another quiz. Remember when I wrote a quiz?
We've cancelled the live show.
So keep an eye out for that. We'll be announcing that as soon as it's up on all our socials, which are...
At Filthy Caspod on Twitter, Filthy Casuals on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com. If you'd like to sling us some cash, paypal.me/filthypod. Give us some money to play games.
Yeah.
I wrote something about Rogue One. So if go to my Twitter, at Ben Vanel. I wrote my thoughts on the film.
Oh, wow.
Which I've already put
out there.
And there's been a good response.
As an article, not a tweet. It sounded like you just tweeted about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so I wrote... It's like a Medium article. I already tweeted
it
out last night.
Yeah, I give it about a Medium as well. Not a...
Whoa!
I've had some people saying, like, that's exactly what I felt about the film. So if you want to give it a read, give it a read at Ben Vanel.
Oh, I should mention my comedy festival show is on sale at the moment.
Yeah.
TommyDasilo.com, my stand-up show Dinner for Two at next year's comedy festival. Tickets are cheap, like a pre-sale thing I'm doing for the next like couple of weeks.
Right.
So get on
Our shit's all on sale. Mine is I've got a show that I'm doing in Perth and Melbourne that's called it's Adam and Eve, not Adam Knox.
Yep.
And you can buy tickets for Perth and for Melbourne Comedy Festival for that now. And also Chimp Cop Forever.
Yeah, Chimp Cop Forever. If you just go to Chimp Cop on Facebook, we've posted the link, I should say.
Yeah, great.
Via Ticketmaster. We're doing the full run, so get tickets, please.
Just quietly, Chimp Cop are the fucking best. So go see Chimp Cop. I've never had more fun watching a show than when I watch Chimp Cop.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yes.
That's
nice.
I still can't get the one joke you did in this year's show, Ben, where you were just like doing something that looked like you were typewriting and then you were like, I'm just going to finish tickling this dog.
Oh, yes.
I think about that joke. I was like, one day, if I can write something that good, I'll be happy.
I was never sure that joke was even a real joke.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
We got to trust each other in the future,
true.
Ben.
It's true.
I guess we'll do a post on Facebook where we'll collate all these links and stuff that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Guys, hey, thanks for all your support this year. We are off for a couple of weeks. There will be no interruption to the feed because we've banked up a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
Next week we've got our big Game of the Year special where we've come up with a bunch of different categories. And I since Since playing a little bit more, I now regret some of my decisions to what I said on that episode that we've already recorded.
Yep.
And then we've got a special edition kind of thing that we've done.
Yes.
We won't say what it is now, but it's something a little bit different. We kind of, we sort of knew we had to do something that wasn't going to date or anything like that. So, yeah, we pre-recorded that a couple of weeks ago. That was a lot of fun. So keep an eye for that in 2 weeks.
That's one of the most fun things and the most, the coolest things we've done so far.
Yeah, that was great. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. We'll be back start of Jan. We're going to do predictions for next year. But, yeah, have a safe holiday season. Have a very happy new year. Mark, again, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, this has been awesome.
Come back anytime. Yeah. And as we always say here at the end of Filthy Casuals,
can we start 2016 over again?
Oh, that's the best one you've done in a while.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.